All right, good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to continue in this great journey of the book of Samuel. So the first book is Samuel chapter 19. The word of the Lord says, And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand before my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father to thee, and what I see, and that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou saw it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. Lord, we thank you tonight. Father, please help us preach this great message. Let the Spirit rain down upon the ears of these people. Let it flow through my mouth, that the Word of God could be preached, souls could be saved, that in this dark abyss of the day that we live in, that people could be pulled out of the muck, be dead to self, and be alive unto righteousness. And that, Lord, you would continue to capture souls and keep them and sustain them and preach to them of what Christ has done at the cross until the day you come back. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the beautiful things about the Word of God is that it takes what you can't see, takes with that which you don't know, takes that which is foreign to natural man, and it presents these events and these lives of these people in the Word of God, and they become types unto us. And there's three things in the world that man does not have a clue about and does not understand. One is himself, two is God the Holy Spirit, and three is Christ. And these three beings are, it's critical to the believer that he understands the work of all three. What they do, what they're about, how they operate. And what you find in church is that there's a lot of presumptions, and the believer's natural heart is to always think and dream of how God the Holy Spirit would operate, how Christ is unto them and themselves. And they always get it wrong, because the heart of man and the flesh of man is a dreamer. He's a filthy dreamer, and he's one that will always try to place things on these three things that I've talked about. And in the Word of God, we see these three men, and they represent the three things that I just spoke about. Saul represents self. Jonathan's God the Holy Spirit, and David is Christ. And these are just three mortals that the Holy Spirit captured the events of their life in a way that we could look at it and understand how these three things operate in the world we live in. Because we know Christ is real. We know the Holy Spirit is real. We obviously know we're real. But the function of all three of us, we don't really get. And in fact, the preaching of the cross is to that, to enlighten the believer and the hearers of what they don't know, what they don't understand. And to me, these seven verses are one of the most... we say it all the time in this church as we read and study the Word of God, but The simplicity of how the Holy Spirit laid this out was so, elementary to me that I could finally understand, and hopefully the Spirit of God will as well teach to us tonight. It's really not complicated. It's just the fact of the matter is we're so dark and so obsessed with ourselves that it's hard for the Spirit of God to take a simple truth and let it become something that we accept and we say yes and we believe in it. And I read these three functions of these three men, and it just was amazing to me that all this nonsense that is talked about of Christ, all this nonsense of the Holy Spirit, and how you get those two. And when you look at Saul, you look at Jonathan, you look at David, what we have here is that Saul wants to kill David. David wants to come back to Saul, and somebody's got to try to convince Saul to accept David again. And Jonathan's not a mediator. He's not trying to bring two parties together. He's trying to stop one from trying to fight something that he cannot beat, and that ultimately will destroy his own soul. Because Christ is a mediator between God and man, but Jonathan represents not a mediation between Saul and David. He's simply trying to testify the greatness of David and the sin of Saul. So he has a message that he's trying to deliver unto Saul, that Saul will just say yes and let David come back. And what I have learned in the church and everything that I was ever taught about the Spirit of God, I can flush down the toilet, because I recognize now the Spirit of God has a function. He has a role. He's going to try to do something with me under this sun until I die. He's going to try to come with me with some type of testimony that convinces me that I'm out here being Saul, trying to murder the message of the cross. And he's trying to tell me about the greatness of what Christ did at the cross, so I'll accept that work again. And now it makes it really simple for me, because I don't have to think about what I am. The Spirit of God has told me what I am. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. That Saul's ambition, his passion, his lust, his complete desire, Jesus said, "You are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." That is a statement concerning mankind and the church. And you can't shake what Christ indicted us with. The flesh of man and the self will always follow after his natural father, which is the devil. He will always be bent to a direction that will try to kill David, which is what Christ did upon the cross. His mission, his resources, his time, his energy is put to one thing and one thing alone, the annihilation of David. Yet all the while praising God, yet all the while following the tabernacle system, yet all the while being obedient to Sabbath and whatever the word of God had stated. There's no place in here where it says that Saul was indifferent to the Levitical laws. In fact, we saw him use the Levitical laws numerous times in a religious and ceremonial way. He was the church type. He was the prototype of the strong integrity believer that the church would preach to people this day. But when the Apostle Paul said, we preach Christ crucified, it was not something to be said in one particular church. It was a theme of his very gospel. It was all that the Apostle Paul was about. And his preaching of the cross was not only to save the world in which he lived in, but as a preacher, it was the only thing that was saving him. That proclamation of what Christ did at the cross was the only thing that kept the Apostle Paul from heading down a road of complete annihilation and destruction. Something was there. Some power was always there for the Apostle Paul as he continuously followed the waywardness of his own heart. So that when he finally came down to his last time on this earth and said, I did run a good race, he didn't run it with will. He didn't run it because of education. He didn't run it because of anything of his own. But it was but God the Holy Ghost that spoke those words through the Apostle Paul and said, I ran a good race. I finished. God finished what he had started that day on the road to Damascus. And it was a hard road, it was a long road, and it took years and years and years before the Apostle Paul finally could say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Before the revelation of the understanding of the wickedness of self and the necessity of believing in what Christ did at the cross, so that his flesh could be ever baptized into the death of Christ. We understand now why the Apostle Paul went through so much that he went through, and why Jesus said he will suffer many things for my name's sake. This road of believing exclusively what Christ did at the cross takes from man the one thing that he fights to let go, which is himself. It strips the man of glory. It strips the man of everything that he is. And so you can see that Saul represents a passion that we share. He hates David, and he has no evidence why, other than the fact that David has taken from him and usurped and monopolized all glory and all honor in Israel. He has came in and scooped up all that could be held high. And Saul has been forgotten, and the works of Saul have been set aside by the people. And Saul hates that. And so Saul has a religious agenda. And he's going to bring an armada. And he's going to tell everybody that he knows. And he's going to get everybody on his side. And he's going to try to proselyte and try to tell everybody that he knows to get on his side in one ambition: to destroy the work of David. Let David be counted as dung. Do you realize that that is the reason why the church of our day is ministering as it does? Because it has one ambition, and that is to cut the cross of Christ completely away from all its hearers as the single object of faith for the believer. So when you read about Saul, and he goes to his servants, and he says, guys, we've got to get David out of here. This man has committed no crime. This man has committed no wrong to no other man. In fact, he only has done good for Israel. What? Why? Why would Saul want to destroy this young man? And all he has brought is good. Why does the church want to completely eradicate the cross of Christ from its doctrine and faith in that alone? We peer in into the Word of God, and then it comes, and all of a sudden the covers and the film over the eyes are pulled up, and we realize something very powerful about ourselves. Saul's is doing what he does, and the flesh of man and the flesh of the believer and self has a work. It does something down here. And what the Bible is saying is that I don't talk about what man accomplishes, and in fact, of architectural feats. I don't talk about what man does as far as humanitarian things. God says I don't talk about man in the terms of what he can accomplish under the sun. What I talk about man, I have a simple definition of man and the work that men do down here. Irregardless of what they call themselves, regardless if they hold Bibles or not. Under this, it simply says that Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. That's all Saul cares about is killing David. If you've been with me now since the last couple of while, the Bible has got this over and over again. So you won't forget this, so it won't pass from your mind. Saul still only wants to kill David. That's all he cares about. So the flesh only has one function under the sun, and that is to kill David. That is to destroy what Christ did at the cross, eliminate it. Because it considers it a threat, it considers it an evil work. Interesting, if you follow me on this, because the church always talks about what they do, and they do with others, how they help everybody, and how they have an impact on society, they have an impact on the community. That's all great. Well, so did Saul. So when the Bible talks about Saul, it singled out the fact that this man represents us all, and this man is going to do a work under the sun. He's going to have a function. He's going to have an ambition and desire. He's motivated to perform one work. That work is to kill David. David represents Christ, which has a work, and that work was to be the perfect Lamb of God. He was to come to the earth for 33 and a half years. He was to die on the cross. He was to take upon the sin of the world, and when he died in death, he had finished the redemption plan, finalized the covenant. It was bought by blood. The souls of man were allowed to be rescued by God and taken to heaven if those people would believe in what Christ did at the cross. So he did a work. That is his work. That's what he's known for. You cannot talk about Christ unless you're talking about the cross. Because if you talk about Christ in any other fashion than the cross, then you're taking the man away from the work that he did down here. You're taking away his glory. You're taking away his divinity. You're taking away his sovereignty. And so the same function with Jonathan is that he has a work to do down here in the type of the Holy Spirit. And what he's going to do is he's going to take this great work that David did, and he's going to go try to tell Saul about it so that Saul would believe in David again. So that Saul would not want to kill him, but now would want to accept him. So to say the Holy Spirit operates in any other parameter than to try to tell us poor saps about what we are and what Christ did on the cross is blasphemy against what the function of the Holy Spirit. He is here to testify to two things, the work of self and the work of Christ on the cross. He is to glorify Christ, and he is to indict self, convict us of what we are, because we forget the religious ambition that burns within our heart. Saul's never going to go after David on his own. He's never going to find David on his own. He's never going to try. In fact, he'll never want David if it wasn't for the work of Jonathan. He'll never get up one day and say, I want David back. He'll never get up one day and seek David on his own unless it's to murder him. Such is the power of the flesh. You can't deny the work that you do. And Jonathan's here to tell us, just like he told Saul, your function down here. How wrong you are, your waywardness. It's one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen in regards to these three entities. Self, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. We read that the scripture said that Jonathan and David souls were knit. They were one. And the beautiful thing about it is that Christ, David, goes to the secret place, meaning he's hid from Saul. Saul can't find him. Saul can look up and down, high and low. Saul will never find David. Saul doesn't even want to search for David. Saul has no desire. In fact, if David leaves him, he's okay with that because he still has himself. And Jonathan says to David, just hang out here in the secret place, and I'm going to go talk to Saul. And this meeting between Jonathan and Saul is what the Holy Ghost from heaven is trying to do to us tonight. Let's talk about us. Let's get it out on the table. Let's see that Jonathan doesn't pull any punches. We'll see that Jonathan doesn't run around the bushes here. Jonathan comes right out and tries to convince Saul that he's completely wrong in all his desire to kill David. But Saul probably doesn't really understand why he wants to kill David. He just does what he does, and he does it well. Because he's cursed. Because he's in a mortal body of decay. And he has no other functionality and function within him except to do what he's bent to do. So when Jesus said, you are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do, you have to die from that statement. The only way you come around that is to be put to death. You cannot escape the fact that you lust as the devil lusts, because that's what Jesus' statement was meaning. And so flesh is flesh, self is self. The lust of your father you will do. How do I ever get out of that? How can that ever stop? How can that statement against me as a person never apply? It can't while I'm in this mortal body. The lusts of my father I will do. I am bent in the direction to try to stop faith in what Christ did at the cross. But, glory to God, there's something down here that's taken me out to the field and says, let's reason together. Let's talk about something now. Let's discuss what's going on with you and your desire to destroy Christ. But if you had asked Saul in that day, Saul, you're trying to destroy Christ, he would have balked at it. He would have said, I love the Lord. But David represented the one to come. Saul wanted to be represented as the one to come. Saul's desire is to be and do what Christ is. Savior, deliverer, controller, powerful. He believed he could have an impact on the world, on upon Israel. He thought his works were great. He thought his works should be lifted high. In fact, when David's got lifted up, he couldn't believe what he heard that day when those little old women were singing on the street corner. Saul has slain his thousand, but David is 10,000s. He couldn't understand that all he wanted was to be revered as something that could help people. He didn't want to be revered as a murderer, a thief, or a crook. He was anything but that. His only crime that we read about is that he wants to annihilate David because he typifies the true Christ. He's completely governed by hatred for the works that David did. And if we don't get this, we are going to do nothing else but follow the same path as Saul. The path to total destruction, the path to losing one soul forever. And I have said this over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit does not capture a man's life for so long and through so many chapters if it has no relevance to the believer. He puts down what means, what will matter, what will have an impact on that believer's faith. And he comes with it with the simplest types as he can find. And these events are so simple in elementary in the story, but they have so much power behind it because it enlightens the believer to understand that, wow, that type of Saul is me. And I can't claim that I ever wanted Christ, except the Holy Spirit came to me and told me how bad I need Him. That there's no place where Saul could ever claim. David came back to him because of something he did. And keep this in mind, despite Saul's numerous attempts to destroy David, the heart of David is pure. He has no evil towards Saul. In fact, he wants to come back to Saul. He wants that unity again. He wants to come back and unify with Saul. He wants Saul to accept him and believe in him. And so does Jonathan. So you see, Jonathan and David are perfect and holy in this type. They just want Saul. And Saul's still what he is, what he's about. And they don't care. And God in heaven doesn't care that you've been bent so long and you're so bent on going another way. He's here tonight to meet you in the field like Jonathan did to Saul. And he's going to tell you two things. He's going to tell you your sin, and he's going to tell you the greatness of the work of Christ on the cross. Simple. The books about the Holy Spirit. The tips and strategies on how to get the Holy Spirit to move in your life. All that can be tossed and burnt like the early church did with all the books and the crap and the idols and the old and back in that day. The fact that you got to conjure the Holy Spirit and you got to get going to have the Holy Spirit move. I heard the other day, you can't get up and preach the gospel unless the worship is anointed. You got to have the worship first, and then the preaching can come after the worship. Well, no, it doesn't really matter. You can preach first and worship after. There's nothing. Nothing inhibits the Holy Spirit. Nothing inhibited Jonathan that day from talking to Saul. It's an event that he wants to do tonight and meet you where you're at. Listen to what the scripture says. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father. And what I see that will I tell you. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father. Jonathan spoke good of David. Jonathan never spoke good of Saul. Jonathan only speaks good of David. He doesn't speak good about himself. Jesus said, when he comes, he will glorify me. He will lead you into all truth. He will never come to lift up Saul. He will never come to glorify Saul. He will never come to tell good about Saul because there's nothing good to tell about Saul. There's nothing to say about Saul that's meaningful unto him. Jonathan, just for one purpose and one thing alone, to testify of the works of David were good and his works were evil, and let David come back. Amazing, isn't it? All those charlatans and all those people that tell, all those preachers and prophetesses and whatever they call themselves these days, talk about the Holy Spirit. You got to do this to have the Holy Spirit. And you got to give this much to have the Holy Spirit. You got to spend this much time in prayer for the Holy Spirit. Or this is how the Holy Spirit will lead you and move you. And the complete insanity and the absolute ball and chain that has latched it onto the ankles of the people of God that are trying to understand, what in the world does the Holy Spirit do? How would I know if He moved if He did? How can I tell Him from the Antichrist? How in the world does it all make sense? How can the church have the same preacher talks about the same scriptures, and they all talk about something different? One talks same scripture and talks about marriage. Another one talks about finances. Somebody else talks about this. How in the world would you consider that to be order? How would you consider that to be a divine hand moving? Yet they people in this day and age believe that these churches are filled with the Spirit of God. God leads this church this way. God leads that church that way. They all, in some way, form, or fashion, God's got His hand in there. Don't worry about it. No, He's not the author of confusion. He is an originator of divine perfection. So when I look at the church of our day, I see chaos, chaos, chaos. I see completely there is no way this is by the hand of a holy God. Step, 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 steps. They change it every single day. One day, the marriage, this is what you need for your marriage. Next day, need this. People, they have talk shows. People call in with their problems. And you know what? The theme of today in most Christian radio talk shows is nothing but psychology. It's just a mental game. Think about, try doing this. Try working on this. Maybe talk to your child this way. And the Spirit of God isn't trying to have Saul to have a better marriage relationship with his children. Jonathan isn't meeting Saul to figure out a way in which he can have a greater impact on his community. No, you see, Jonathan has a much more higher agenda than that. Something more valuable than the petty things of men's affairs. Jonathan has come to try and take the blinders off of Saul and remind him what he's trying to kill. Simple. How do I know the Holy Spirit's moving? How do I know? What's His function down here? Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee toward very good. So I talked about last time the complete foolishness and the darkness of trying to destroy that which came to save you. And so the meeting between man and God, the Holy Spirit, looks like this. It's no more complicated than this. One is meant to do evil. One is here to testify to the good that the one is trying to do unto the other. So Saul's trying to kill David. Jonathan's saying, Saul, you're outlawed your mind. All he did was good unto you. Notice something here. Jonathan's not holding the stick. He's not trying to beat Saul down. He's just trying to simply explain to him, you're not operating. Your work down here and your functionality is totally backward. This young boy came to you, slayed the giant Goliath. He has nothing but brought good to Israel and salvation to Israel, and now you're seeking to kill him. What in the world, around world are you trying to do down here? His message is very clear. It's very simple. as the Word of God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool." Let's talk about what's going on here. Your sins are as scarlet. They're ever before me wicked. It's not the things that you do, it's you. The compilation of self is a beaming red beacon of darkness. But let's talk about it. Though they're like that, though this is what you are, they shall be white as snow. So Jonathan's come to Saul to talk about simple two things, as I mentioned. His sin and the goodness of David. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is discussed. It's a real, real clear picture. And I can't believe the total waste of time church was concerning the Holy Spirit. I can't, as I look back and think about the messages, and as I even read the commentaries of those that declare themselves as preachers of the gospel and as teachers of the message of the cross, the Holy Spirit still, this goofy thing, still rings with this idea that he's inactivated somehow. That the believer does and he moves, and the believer's correct, and he will move on their behalf and do all sorts of things unto them. And that leads the believer to totally look and become more self-absorbed than they ever were before. It leads them to a life to simply look and see what's not here, what has been taken away, and it totally detracts from what you're seeing in this perfect and beautiful event that's taking place. The Holy Ghost, his function down here on earth, is nothing more than to tell Saul of his sin and that he'd let David come back. What he threw away, what he pushed away, what he hated in the black abyss of his heart, to try to convince him one more time that David was is good unto him. Because he's seen in his religious path, Christ crucified, and faith in that alone has become evil in the eyes of Saul. You can't shake that. You can't stiff arm that. It is you. You can't deny your work. In fact, the worst thing you can do is deny the work of self and what it is. And when I say deny the work of self, I'm talking about denying the truth that man, self, only can do one work, and that is kill David. It can only destroy Christ. So to put any stock in this, to look at this as good, to build a foundation around anything concerning the flesh of man, it's a total... It's sand. It is the house that is built on sand. Because when the storm finally blows and the wrath of God comes, it cannot stand. It's imperative that the church in these last days understands that the heavenly Jonathan has come. And though the world is dark, and though the church is in the most blackest place it's ever been, the light of the power of what Christ did at the cross is shining even brighter than it ever has before. The greater the darkness, the greater the light that God would send down, that the heavenly Jonathan has come to tell the church in the last day of its sin. It has murdered the need of the message of what Christ did at the cross. It has gotten everybody involved. It has gotten everybody aligned. It has gone out and gotten everybody on board. Let's destroy faith in what Christ did at the cross. And God says, I don't care what they did. I don't care what they've done. Jonathan's still here. Jonathan's going to be here tomorrow. Jonathan, the heavenly Jonathan, God, the Holy Ghost, still approaching souls in this day and saying, let's talk about what's going on. Because if he can tell somebody the truth, despite the blackness of that person's mind and heart, they still have a chance like Saul did. They might just might heed the words of God, the Holy Ghost, and be saved. What a testimony to the Lord and the Lord alone. Because the devil looks like he has got it gridlocked down here. It looks like he shut it all off. For where are the preachers of the gospel? Where are the Isaiahs? Where are the Ezekiels of our day? Where is anybody that proclaims the truth of what Christ did at the cross? They've all shut the gates and the doors to this power of God that comes through the preaching of the cross. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't even know what he looks like. They couldn't tell him from anything. Well, either did Saul. Neither did you and I. Neither did any single person on this planet. But by the work of Jonathan, by the power of Jonathan, the heavenly Jonathan, God the Holy Ghost, us that are Saul, we might believe in David. Isn't it amazing the love that has been brought to us? Isn't it amazing that these men, why would they go after Saul when all he's done is try to destroy? All he's done is try to rid Israel of the salvation of God. All he has to show forth as a trophy, as the greatest inhibitor of the gospel to the known world and to Israel that day. All he can show forth is that he built the wall to try to stop salvation from coming to Israel. Is there a preacher out there that has not done that crime? Because if he says he is, he's a liar right down to the core. We have only been bent in that direction. Our work is our work. This is what we can show forth. We have built the mortar and we have stone and straw and we have tried to shut the people away from the salvation of God. Oh, we can show we did this, and our websites can say we do this, and we can talk about all that we've done. Saul had a great ministry. He'd love to tell anybody about it. But isn't it interesting? What good is all that if you're trying to kill David? What good is any of it when the smoke clears? And the doors finally shut. You're standing there as one who's only done one thing under the sun. What did you do down here? I spent my whole life trying to kill David. I've got years and years and years and years of medals and honors of shame. Of a continuous desire to destroy faith in what Christ did at the cross. And here we have Saul. He's just standing there. And Jonathan tells him of his crime. He says, let not the king sin against the servant, against David, because he has not sinned against thee. And because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest, and thou did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? He's talking about, what are you doing here? Saul, let me explain to you. For he did put his life in his hand, typifies the cross. He slew the Philistine. It represents the power of the flesh. He took it down. The Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it. You rejoiced in it. He was born again that day. He believed in what David represented. It's Jesus Christ on the, and his death on the cross. The Spirit of God has always said through the scripture to Israel, always brought them back to the great strong arm that brought them out of Egypt, the arm that brought them out through blood, the slain lamb upon the doorpost. You saw it, you rejoiced in it. Wherefore are you now wanting to destroy it without a cause? You have no claim to do so. There's been no reason at all for you to ever be stopped believing in what Jesus did at the cross. Yet, here I am. For when did God do us wrong? Or when was the Lord did you bad or evil that you would all of a sudden have a desire and a propensity to want to rid the gospel of what Christ did at the cross from your life? He's just exposed Saul, and he's laid bare the truth of his heart. Saul's standing there with a man who doesn't have much to say. For what is there to say? He's hearing it, and he says in verse 6, "And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan." He heard and he believed. For how shall they believe except there be a preacher? How shall anyone get saved lest somebody proclaim the gospel of what Christ did at the cross? Jonathan preached the cross of Christ. And that's all God the Holy Spirit will do down here. For if he doesn't, nobody will hear and be saved. To the church, he has said the exact same thing. You people were born again one day. You looked at Christ and what he did at the cross. You believed it. You saw it. You rejoiced in it. What are you doing now in the heap in the church that you're involved in? How soon you have quickly forgotten the gospel that was preached to you that day you heard it was faith and what Christ did at the cross. And look at you now. All you can do is bent and bent and bent to try to rid yourself of just faith in what Christ did at the cross. How do we shake that? Am I going to get up one day and not have this? No, no. This is church happening right here. This is what God says. This takes place when the Spirit of God moves. There's David. He's someplace that we can't. He can't find him. You can't see him. No, you need Jonathan. You need Jonathan. You need the Spirit of God to bring David back to you because you tried to destroy David and what he did at the cross. Well, that's awesome because you know what? I'm heavy laden. I'm burdened with a desire to slay David just like Saul. Come unto me, all thee that you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just tell me I'm Saul. To treat me, Holy Spirit, like Jonathan talked to Saul that day. Let David not be somebody that I have. Let David not be something, some relationship that I've established on my own terms. But let David be secret from me. Let him be blind unto me. Let me have Jonathan tell me. Let him tell me what I am. Let him tell me what I've done. And tell me about what David did for me, because I forgot. Wow, amazing, wouldn't it be so great? It would, as if self would never, ever have even a splinter to stand on. Amazing, wouldn't it? God would just be glorified, glorified, glorified. Oh, we can't have that in the church of our day. I read these scriptures about Saul, and all I can do is thank the Lord that my eyes have been whatever open that they are to see this, because this stuff is so liberating to those that listen and believe. Because there's no penance required of Saul. Saul doesn't have to do any Hail Marys. Saul doesn't have to go get his life cleaned up and come back later. Saul doesn't have to do nothing. No, no, no. King Saul, king flesh, king self, all the Spirit of God is saying unto him. And he hearkened to it, and he believed it. And everything that he did to this point in time was washed away by the precious blood of the Lamb. On that day, Saul was placed inside Christ on the cross. The day he heard and believed, and what a wicked, vicious, liar, and sinful wretch that he was. Imagine that. No counselors. Doesn't have to meet somebody on the side. Doesn't have to have the preacher come to his house and sit down and talk to him. He doesn't have to shed more money and try to buy some CDs and go here. He doesn't have to get some treatment. No, no, no. He can just sit back and accept what he is and what he did and heed the words of Jonathan. If he can just get put in his place. If somebody can just back him into that corner. And he can forget all about what he was and what he did and just accept the truth. This is the beautiful thing about the truth, because it'll set you free. Verse 8 is the entirety of the gospel wrapped up. And the entirety of what the work of the Holy Spirit will do. He'll come and he'll declare this over and over and over again. He did put his life in his hand. He went to the cross and died. He slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it. You did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou now sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? What do I do? What do I do? How do you have victory and all this stuff they talk about. Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. Well, that's easy. That's it. Saul doesn't have to fall down on his face and cry and weep at the feet of David. Saul doesn't have to cry out for days asking for the forgiveness of David. No, Saul just hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. He accepted what Jonathan said as truth. Period. And he's saved. He's going to let David come back, be in his presence as in times past. That's it. That's all that happened. Well, no, we can't accept that. We got to make it more complicated than that. We got to have steps involved that somebody's got to do something and something. I mean, you can't get off that easy. Saul just can't get off that easy. He just can't believe in it. And then he can just get away with all that he did. He's got to pay for that. Jonathan's here not to pull payment out of you. Holy Ghost doesn't want nothing from you. You got nothing. Why, he can't take nothing from a pile of dung. There's nothing good to extract from it. So Jonathan's come to talk to Saul simply about what Saul did. Saul has said, okay, you're right, Jonathan. I believe that. That's it. Period. Amazing, isn't it? So what does that mean? What does this mean? This means the reason why David is one more time unified with Saul is because of what Jonathan did. So Saul can't take any credit. He didn't do anything. He didn't pray to get him back. Didn't give to get him back. Didn't read enough to get him back. He's got no ceremony that got him back. There was no formality got him back. In fact, Saul got up that morning with one agenda, that was to kill David. He was intercepted by Jonathan that told him a new and living way, that you are wicked, dude, and he has brought you nothing but good, and you've done nothing but try to destroy the message of the cross. And Saul said, that's right, I did that. That's truth. Boom, that's it. So, the work of David's not tarnished. His work was glorified by Jonathan. Jonathan's work was completely fulfilled. And the result of the work of Christ's death on the cross, the work of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and his complete function down here, we see the result. Poor, wretched sinner listens and he gets saved. So, I don't know about you, but I like it really elementary because I'm not the brightest crayon in the box and I like simple things. You know, square peg goes in a square hole kind of thing. And I was reading this the other day. And I'm just laughing. Because it's so simple. Three works going on at all times down here. Work of Christ, work of the Holy Spirit, work of self. Three unique roles that only those three entities can do. And I'm looking at that, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm thinking, you can take all the commentaries that were ever written, and you can read them all. And you can go to all the seminary schools, and you can go to all the Bible colleges, and you can go to all the great study from great past theologians. And you may never, ever come to the simplicity of yourself, Holy Spirit, and Christ. And these two, all they do, all they've ever done, is try to get us to believe. And I... it's absolutely amazing. Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And before the verse ends, before the verse is even over, self rears its ugly head. And Saul swore, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. It was a boast of the flesh, one he would not keep. In fact, before you even get to the next... four verses, Saul's back on the warpath. It's amazing, isn't it? He swore, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. It was a boast of the flesh. It's total vanity. It didn't have anything to do with anything. He hears it. He believes it. He's saved. It's done. Covenant's cut. Unified, baptized in the death of Christ. Leave it alone. No. He's got to show some sort of religious evidence that he's believed what Jonathan said. So he makes a boast that he can't keep. He won't even keep it for a day. He makes a claim he never can keep. It just, it's amazing to me how sick we are. I mean, the Spirit of God is just saying, guys, you've got to get this because... you don't think of yourself like this, but I'm telling you what, you're doing what exactly Saul did. But I want to call out in verse 7, it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful things that I've read in the Word of God, and I've read a lot of them. But this one just hit me so sweet, it was like a melody to me. Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. Look at what it says. Jonathan brought David to Saul. Jonathan brought David to Saul. The Spirit of God will bring you Christ and what he did at the cross. You can't go after him. You can't see him. You can't do anything to stop the breach that you've created by the lust of your own flesh. But don't worry, because God's got a plan for you. Jonathan will get David, and Jonathan's agenda, Jonathan's passion, Jonathan's desire, Jonathan's entire mission down here is to bring David back to Saul. Unbelievable. Praise the Lord. That's simple for me. I'm always going to be Saul. What's the Spirit of God going to do for me? He's going to make sure he's going to bring me David. But before he brings me David, he's going to tell me about the wretchedness of what I am. All the days spent trying to get in those quiet times with Christ, in the quiet times with the Lord, you need to dedicate more time to God. You need to do this. You need to do this. Why does it matter? If I'm Saul, somebody's got to help me. Jonathan's here. Jonathan's here. He's going to do a work down here. He's going to have a function down here. What's it going to be? He's going to bring you Christ and him crucified. Why? Because you've always pushed it away. You've always sought to destroy it. And he's always going to work to bring David back to you. The preaching of the cross. Unto those that perish, it is foolishness. But unto us that are being saved, it is the power of God. That we would look at these scriptures and realize the power of God is at work here. When David is brought to Saul again, and Saul's told of the evil that he is, it is the power of God at work. Brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. That's unbelievable. That's just amazing to me. You know what that means? Everything that Saul did was totally forgotten. Neither Jonathan nor David are holding it against him. That's power there. That is an amazing love. I can't see that in the natural world I live in. I haven't found that in a family. I can't see that in the affairs of men. That which seeks to kill something good, that which seeks to repay good with evil, and all of a sudden, the moment it's been told unto that individual of his crime, he accepts it and receives it. He's back as if it never happened. Amazing! Is it really possible that the Word of God is true and says the just shall live by faith? Could a man be completely justified in the eyes of God because he believed in what Christ did at the cross? Amazing, wouldn't it? That would mean God's true and every man is a liar. The just shall live by faith. Saul, justified. Justified by faith. He's the worst of the worst. Nobody, not even the peasants, nobody, the lowest of the low of the land, have tried to plot out the murder of the representation of the Son of the Living God. Nobody has stooped that low. Doesn't matter. This is the glory of God's salvation. And this is the part that the believers of our day, they won't allow themselves to ever be in the position of Saul. And they remove themselves from ever being saved. Because you know what? the day the believer says, I'm as bad now as I ever was. I am as bent against the gospel as I've ever been. I am as against the work of Christ on the cross as I've ever been. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, no problem. Glad you finally have listened. I'm glad your ears finally opened. The wax finally got dried up and fizzled out. And now you can finally understand truth. I've not come here to pin ribbons and medals on people down here. I am here for a holy agenda to save souls. I'm trying to save the church. I'm trying to save the wayward sheep. I'm trying to save the lost sheep of our day. I am here. You don't need the sick. The healthy don't need a doctor. The sick are the ones that need the physician. For they that were in darkness saw a great light. Is there any greater darkness than what Saul stood in that day? A delivered soul who's now trying to kill his deliverer. It doesn't get any blacker. It's the rock bottom abyss of evil. To somebody does somebody good, and all they try to do is kill them for it. And they that were in darkness saw a great light. Jonathan, the heavenly Jonathan, met Saul, which represents self. And he said unto him, you have done evil unto good. He put his life in his own hand for you. He died on that cross for you. He slayed the flesh. Everything's been done for you. And yet you resist, and yet you plot, and yet you kill, and scheme a way to rid him of it, of what he is and what he has done. And he heard it and believed it. He heard it and he believed it. David and Saul are unified again. Covenant is established based on the truth of the voice of Jonathan. Saul, as we have read in the scripture, has always tried to deny what he's done. Samuel has called him out numerous times, and Saul has balked at it. He believed everything that he did was right and good. And when you think that Saul is on a train wreck that can never be stopped, it seems like he is spiraling out of control and which he can never be saved from. And yet the Word of God says all it takes is just one time. Just one meeting, just one moment where the voice of Jonathan, God the Holy Ghost, could be preached. And guess what happened? The darkest of the dark, the worst of the worst, the religious of the religious, the wicked of the wicked could hear that message and believe it. And the Lord that he has tried to fight against would all be forgotten and washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and they would be unified again. This is the gospel, the power of God. That you come tonight as Saul, it's okay, doesn't matter. Jonathan's here to tell you about what you are and what Christ did on the cross. And if you hear it and you believe it, there's a beautiful thing that happens. You are baptized into the death of Christ. Self is dead, self is put away, dropped down in its proper resting place. And you are made alive unto righteousness by Christ. So you're done away with, but yet you live in righteousness. But the problem is the church would say, yeah, we believe that. But they'd never believe that tomorrow they're Saul. Somehow it's like you get born again in today's church and all of a sudden you've got insurance papers and you're locked into a contract. No, the contract's based upon faith. And the moment there's not faith, it's breached. So if you had perfect faith and your faith never failed, then yeah, you'd never have to worry. But the Bible has news for you. You do fail in faith. The picture, he's the epitome of what we are. He is our poster boy He's the one, he's our idol, he's the one we can look up to because he represents in all capacity the walk of the believer down here. And it's amazing that all the glory and all the joy of seven, and you can imagine what happened here. David came out of the secret place. David no longer was hid from Saul. All of a sudden, they probably shook hands, embraced, or whatever. But it was like the very first time when David killed the Goliath, and Saul said, "Boy, I want you in my house. You're not going back to your father's house." He coveted David again. He wanted David again. Somebody convinced him that he needed to have David. It was Jonathan that did it. And so we have this great and glorious reunion between Saul and David. But yet what happened, by the time you get to verse 9, Saul's back again with the javelin in his hand and he's ready to kill again. How can it be that quick? Worse yet, how can preachers say that you can't just get born again and then the very next day you lose faith? Read the Word of God before you make statements like that. This Bible is showing the power of self like I've never seen before. You mean to tell me I can walk in here, I can hear this message, and the next day I can have the javelin in my hand ready to destroy it? Are you trying to tell me that capacity of evil resides in my mortal body? Yes, yes, yes. I want to clear something up for all of us tonight as I end. Verse 7 is, if you get anything tonight, if you walk away with anything, understand this. Despite all that happens, despite everything that goes on, here's how the Holy Spirit works on your behalf. Jonathan brought David to Saul. Holy Ghost brings the message of the cross to the church of that day. And you can walk away with clarity and know that the Spirit of God is here. And He's real. And I don't have to worry. I don't have to get up tomorrow and freak out and think God left me or God. No, you know what? Jonathan brought David to Saul. There's a work the Spirit of God is doing here. But what do we require in our half? What's our role in all this? Well, we got to stand there like Saul and accept the truth. And hear it and believe it and we'll be saved. Praise God, we'll be saved. Because we heard it and we believed it. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, never stop teaching us, never stop showing us. Let these scriptures of old, let them come alive, Lord, like they've never come before. The Spirit and the teacher and the great preacher that is God, the Holy Spirit, let the heavenly Jonathan, Lord, keep coming in this little church. In this little church, Lord, let him come, let him teach, let him show us the wickedness that we are Saul through and throughout. That all over we are nothing more and will never be more than Saul. But we thank you, Lord God, that Jonathan came to Saul and he's bringing him David. Lord, and everyone that's listening tonight, everyone that hears this great, great message of the cross, that I'd ask that you would bring David to us. Bring that heavenly David, what Christ did on that cross one more time, that we could believe and we could be saved. We praise your name. Amen.